This year marks the 50th anniversary of the 1962 Seattle World's Fair. The event gave visitors a peek at how they might communicate and use something called a computer in the 21st century. In the third part of our series on the fair, produced with Jackstraw Productions, Harriet Baskus looks at some of the technological innovations unveiled at Seattle's Space Age World's Fair.
During the 1962 World's Fair, the future was front and center. Astronaut John Glenn had just orbited the Earth, and NASA was ready to launch the first communication satellite that could both send and receive signals.
That satellite, of course, is the Telstar, 170 pounds of complex electronic equipment that receives signals beamed from Earth, magnifies them 10 billion times, and rebroadcasts them back to Earth.
When Telstar first launched on July 10, 1962, only audio signals of phone calls were bounced between Earth and space.
And then a few weeks later, they did the television bounce. Most of Europe got to see scenes of America. Most of America got to see scenes of Europe.
And it broadcast scenes from the fair.
HistoryLink staff historians Alan Stein and Paula Becker wrote The Future Remembered, the 1962 World's Fair and its legacy. They say that first live international TV broadcast was a very big deal.
And this was huge. I mean, the fact that they could see this, you know, while it was happening.
Because it was broadcasting scenes like Rockefeller Center and Mount Rushmore. And, you know, to have the fair be one of those American iconographic things that was broadcast, although the fair had only been open for, 3 months. That was really important.
Satellite technology was definitely 21st century. The fair also promised technological changes for daily living here on Earth. In the Bell Systems Pavilion, lovely young ladies informed fairgoers that just dialing a phone number was old-fashioned. Call waiting, call forwarding, and phones that had their dials replaced with push buttons were just around the corner.
Hi, this is the Bell Systems' new touch-tone dialing. With this indicator, you see how many seconds you save the new way.
For those on the go, there was the bellboy, later known as the pager.
When someone calls and you are out, you can be reached by dialing your bellboy code number. When you get a signal on the bellboy, you can go to a phone to call your office or home and get the message.
It was this big, herky device. It was about the size of a TV remote, about twice as heavy.
HistoryLink's Alan Stein.
And all it did was rattle in your pocket when somebody wanted to contact you. But, you know, this was brand new.
Of course, cell phones made pagers obsolete. But those original models are still around at Seattle's Museum of Communications.
I have a display of bellboys in here. I'm going to grab a couple of them.
Museum volunteer Rich Barger worked at regional phone companies for 45 years. He says Seattle World's Fair officials were the first to be issued pagers.
It showed the public that, hey, this is what's coming. It's going to be available very shortly. So it was a good marketing ploy.
The museum also displays the first cordless phones. They were invented to solve a problem at the revolving restaurant on top of the Space Needle. That's according to Knute Berger, author of Space Needle, The Spirit of Seattle.
They wanted to have phone service at your table because that's what every great, you know, fancy restaurant, you could phone from the table. But they couldn't, with cords, it wouldn't work. So they actually had the phone company, Pacific Northwest Bell, actually invented a form of wireless phone that connected the phone to a radio transmitter that then connected you with an operator so you could have a cordless phone at your table while you were rotating and you could make a call. And that was one of the first times that was ever done.
New technology was also featured in General Electric's Home of the Future exhibit. There, a perfectly coiffed homemaker had conveniences that included a push-button sink, remote control draperies, and a computer with access to an entire library. All things, it turned out, homeowners could soon have.
You know, that's a thing about this fair. The future seems not so far away.
HistoryLink's Paula Becker says even though this World's Fair was billed as space age, the technological dreams presented were really quite grounded.
I think that at the 1962 Seattle World's Fair, The future felt more like a road we were already on. So it's less foreign, it's less predictive, and it's more like something we're on our way to.
As the present unfolds, what the future beholds, you're elated, fascinated.
I'm Harriet Baskis.
Our series marking the 50th anniversary of the 1962 Seattle World's Fair was produced in collaboration with Jack Straw Productions, with funding support from 4Culture. To learn more about our series, go to KUOW.org.